Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
We don't have strength. If it's all about me, I wonder I don't have strength. It's about yes. Because I recognize when I started to get weak, I saw Jesus. Couldn't even carry his cross. He'd have someone else pick it up for him and carry it. And he went to the cross and he died. And God Almighty, who knows everything, would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I thought, How dare me? I've got strength, and I know I've got a second wind because it's promised by the Holy Spirit of God that He's not going to lead me in ways that I can't run.
If it's all about you, you'll run out of strength. It needs to be about Jesus. He will never lead you in a direction that He hasn't equipped you to go. As Pastor Troy describes today, faith is like running a long-distance race. When you feel like quitting, keep pushing. And eventually, you'll get a second wind. This is called a runner's high and comes after your mind says to stop, but your body is capable of so much more. In your walk with Christ, when you feel like giving up, give your burdens to God, and He'll give you a second wind. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
I've heard more horror stories, not from the over-disciplined. In fact, some of the over-disciplined will look back and go, you know what? I rebelled against the discipline because I thought it was excessive. However, I appreciate it now. But I've never heard those who had no discipline go, I'm sure glad they didn't care what I did. No, most of the time they go, man, I wish they would have disciplined me. I wish they would have put me on restriction once to teach me a lesson. Discipline is more important than non-discipline. God does it to those who are His. And discipline says, I care. It doesn't always sound like you care, but it says, I care. See, if you don't discipline your children, you're telling them, I don't care if you're not respectful to others. I don't care if you don't consider others. You just think about yourself. You have fun. You're a kid. You don't worry about what everybody else thinks. When you don't discipline them, you say, I don't care if you don't learn about honesty and integrity. I don't care if you don't learn about being content or sharing. I don't care. That's what you're saying when you don't discipline. Basically, you're saying, I don't care if you grow up with a godly character. You just be happy. I just want you and us to be good. That's the weakness, I think, in discipline. Those who don't discipline, there's a problem. They're worried. If I discipline, they won't love me. And if they don't love me, then I'll lose everything. That's a weakness, and that's a lie from Satan. They will never appreciate you more. Maybe not in the moment. You got to get over the moment thing. But in the long run, it will be so much better for them and for you because of discipline. I say that because God disciplines those He loves. And God's ways are better than our ways. He says, if you don't receive it, you're not a son. You're not treated in love. And I discipline and I chasten and I rebuke and I scourge and I do to those that I love. It's love, not hate. Don't confuse that. Don't let the enemy mess that up in your mind because of maybe what your parents did or didn't do, or because you think it's harsh. It doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what God says. We understand submission to earthly fathers. It's just the way things happen. We grow up, dad's dad. I mean, we can't even walk or speak at first, so obviously dad's got an advantage. But as we grow, we know the role of the father. And the parents are to raise and to discipline the child, to direct them in godly ways. Unfortunately, we don't have a godly culture, but that was the intention. We understand submission to them, so how much more should we not learn to respect and submit ourselves to our Heavenly Father? And it says, earthly fathers chastened for a few days as, and this is what I want to key in on for a moment too, as seemed best to them. As seemed best to them. In other words, they tried. They tried. They weren't right all the time. They didn't do it right all the time. But God does it right every time. God is perfect. And he's not like the father who says, leave me alone. I'm disciplining you finally after you've been doing it all day. I haven't disciplined you, but I'm going to discipline you now because now I'm in the midst of this thing that I'm doing and you're bugging me and so I'll get on you. God doesn't do that. Inappropriate discipline. His is perfect and he does it not for himself, but for our profit. What is that profit? That we might be partakers of his holiness. We're going to talk a little more about holiness next week. There are a couple of things he says, hey, without these two things, you won't see God. And so the discipline is very important for us now as we move toward that text next week. Because no discipline, no father, and we could risk not seeing God at all. These are tests. Find out where we are. There's a separation going on. Verse 11 says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. There are some that aren't trained by it. They're rebellious. They just won't let it happen. But for those who are willing to listen, they'll be trained by it. Therefore, verse 12, strengthen the hands which hang down, the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Final thing we'll talk about, God's results remind us of his love in all of this. The picture is this. Yeah, you're weak right now, but don't give in because it will get worse for you. Let's strengthen. Let's build. Let's be made whole instead of giving in and falling by the wayside and getting even more chaotic, more lost. Chastening does not seem joyful at the time. Anyone enjoyed it? I have never once said, especially when my dad or my mom had spanked me, I never said, wow, that was a good one. Woo! Not once. But I learned, this isn't good. And if I were honest, instead of going, man, he doesn't love me. He spanked me. I can't believe that. Now, that's someone who's deceived. But if we're honest, we'll say, that didn't have to happen. It wasn't like he just comes in the door every day and says, I'm going to spank you. Actually, my dad sometimes did. He wasn't the Lord. Sometimes my dad liked fair. So his mindset was, one person did something wrong, and he said, I'm sure you did something too, so come here. I guess he wanted us to be a team. Don't do something wrong, because if you do something wrong, I'm getting spanked too, you know? Actually, maybe there's something to that. Who knows? But that was his mindset. He was not the Lord. God is just. And no chastening seems joyful at the time. Oh, let me say, if you're chastening seems joyful to your kids, that's not chastening. You're not going out with your friends. You stand here and we'll watch this movie you've wanted to watch. I wanted to go with my friends, but all right, where's the popcorn? Yeah, you're being punished. That's not chastening. It's not joyful. It's not good. It's not enjoyable. So that's not chastening. Athletes, when they train to win, They subject themselves to certain things that are very difficult. And especially long-distance runners, they're in a marathon, which requires endurance. You'll get those side pains. And there's training involved. Now, there are some who enter a race and they don't go to the practices. They want to be part of the track team. They don't go to the practices. We in the church might say, we want to run the race that God has given us to win, but I just don't want to go to church. So we don't get the vitamins and the nutrients and the exercises. And oh, that word that I wouldn't have got on my own. That is true, but it's outside my box. And man, I sure wish I hadn't come today. We won't get that we need from a coach. And so we don't go to the practices, we don't improve. And what happens with a runner is one day they get up and they say, I want to do a mile run. And they go, man, I'm out of shape. I can't run like I used to. Better go out and practice again. I better get back to practice. And the Christian does the same thing. The Christian, one day they look at their life and they go, what a mess are we in? We're in a mess here. What happened? And what do they say? We need to get back to church. You ever heard that before? Maybe you've said it. You know, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I know. Life's a mess. We need to get back to church. We need to get back to practice. So they get out of shape, then they get back in shape, then they get out of shape, then they're back in shape. And that's their Christian life. Never winning the race, never running to win, just getting in and out of shape, in and out of shape, in and out of shape. Then there are some that just like to wear the uniform. They don't have any intention of running the race anyway. They just like to look good. They like to wear the uniform. There's something about belonging to a team. That's my church. Do you go? When I go, that's where I go. They don't care about the game so much. Walking the walk, running the race, that's too scary. I don't want to make sacrifices. I don't want the side pains. I tried it. My dad said one time, he said, yeah, I tried working out. I was sore the next day. I said, this can't be good. This can't be healthy for you. So he said, I gave it up. Some, that's the way they live their Christian experience. I did, man, there was conviction. Man, I want to grow in the Lord. I want to do great things for the Lord. And then I got convicted.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
There's nothing wrong with these things. Pastor was teaching. Every time I go back to church, it seems like he talks about the same thing. Twice a year, I go to church. He goes, the same thing every single time. Well, it could be because you only come to the same two messages every year, Christmas and Easter. But that's not this crowd. It's not Christmas or Easter. Or it could be that it doesn't matter where we're at in the scriptures. God is still trying to get your attention on something. And it doesn't matter what is or isn't said. I've had some come to me and say, yeah, when you talked about this, and I'm thinking, I don't remember that. I mean, I said that word, but not in that context. And the reason is God is dealing with you. And you're not going to get over it. You're not going to move forward. He's going to tell you, tuck in your shirt. You can't get past it. Every time I go to church, he says, tuck in your shirt, you know. I don't like that. I don't believe in that. So you just can't grow. And you don't run. But we got our big Bibles. When we come to church, we bring that big study Bible, the most current edition that's been put out by the most popular pastor. We tell everybody about it like that's maturity. My big Bible here. Not a big heart, but I got a big Bible. Maybe even we take the front row. So he says, strengthen the hands that hang down. You know, it's like running, like, are you a Christian? Is God good? Do you love the Lord? God's good. I'm glad I could survive. It takes great faith and patience and endurance on my part. I'm just hanging on to the Lord. And what we talk about is us. What I did and what I got to do and what I'm feeling. No wonder we don't have strength. If it's all about me, no wonder I don't have strength. It's about yes. Because I recognized when I started to get weak, I saw Jesus. Couldn't even carry his cross. He'd have someone else pick it up for him and carry it. And he went to the cross and he died. And God Almighty, who knows everything, would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I thought, how dare me? How dare me? I've got strength and I know I've got a second wind because it's promised by the Holy Spirit of God that he's not going to lead me in ways that I can't run. And so lift up the arms. Stop looking like somebody who's just surviving. How is it to serve the Lord? It's hard. Do you want to go to heaven? That's all I look forward to. This life's just a throwaway. No, it's not. And who would want to bank on your God? Who would want to run the race with you if that's the attitude? Strengthen yourself. Get up, run like you care, run like you got energy, run like the living God is enabling you and leading you. Be encouraged, because all these things, the pain in the side, these things that come, it simply means you're in the race and that you're running a race that God has given you. It means that you're in the hands of God who loves you. No one else may keep you encouraged. Your parents or your children or your grandparents or your pastor, it doesn't matter. No human being may be able to keep you encouraged all of the time, having the right things to say. And sometimes they are or we are running with hands down. And so you can't always look at people. But the scripture says, keeping our eyes fixed on the Lord, looking to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. These trials come, but they mean that we are in God's hands and we're in a good place. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 say, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible. You pick up your hands. You rejoice and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And there's a sense of urgency in this taking courage also. It says, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. In other words, if we don't get up, take in a fresh breath of air, and run, we will do ourselves harm. You don't just stay on the fence with the Lord. I've said this many times before. It's a great illustration or picture, I guess, of following the Lord. Following the Lord and running this race is like riding a bicycle uphill. If you stop pedaling, you will fall. You can't stop pedaling. There is no coasting and growing in the Lord. He will lead us beside still waters, and we rejoice at that, and we need to take those times. Don't crowd those times with things, with other things, worldly things that don't matter. Take those times to rest, but run the race. God's results are healing. Healing in your home, healing in your heart, relationship with God that is built up and strengthened, and holiness. When God leads and when we endure, that's what happens. Man's results, the opposite of that, more damage in our relationships, more damage in our homes, independence from God, not a relationship with him, but a sense of, I've got this. And then selfishness follows soon after that. Not holiness, but the otherness. Selfishness. It's important that we endure difficulties and accept the discipline of the Lord and to understand it's part of the Christian walk. It helps us to grow and to mature. Without it, we won't. It helps us to develop a closer relationship with the Lord because he is our Father. And when we're disciplined, there's the sense of turning to him that should happen. Oh, what was that? Lord, is this not right? It's getting very difficult, and I had forgotten about you until it got so difficult. What is it, Lord? It helps understand God's love for us because if we endure, we see the results. And we look back and we go, God, you are so good. I've said so many times, why don't I listen to you more? And it's usually after those times of endurings, and then the victory comes and God relieves, and you're like, oh man, your way is always right. Why don't I always do this? And I don't know why. I still get the side pains and want to quit. So when difficult things come, it does not mean that you're being punished. Could mean that God's getting your attention. But listen, as far as punishment is concerned, it's going to come. God doesn't need to punish now. He doesn't need to judge through hurricanes and punish people now. Churches are getting destroyed also, godly men and women. So usually when God punishes, he makes a difference between his people and others. We're in a world that's falling apart. That's the result. That's what's going on. We're all going to experience tornadoes and floods and all of these things. And God does not punish right now the wicked. Their punishment's coming. The wrath of God is coming. Today, he's focused on his church, disciplining them, raising them, giving them opportunity to grow. That's what he's doing. In fact, Jesus said, I did not come today to judge. You have what will judge you, my word. But I came to save, to seek, and to save that which is lost. Right now, his goal is to build you and to direct you. He gives you parameters in your life for your own good and for your own safety. And so listen to him. Stop trying to cross the fence, to go out of bounds, to push on doors that aren't open for you. God allows trials. You know why? Because usually it's only the difficult things that teach us the lessons that we remember. It's got to be difficult so that it hits your heart. Sometimes, more often for some than others, it actually requires some chastening from the Lord. Consequences intended to correct our course. Because as we said earlier, heaven will have no spoiled children. We will all be trained and raised and disciplined by God. Let's close with this verse. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's a good work. And if it's a work that hasn't begun in your life, then maybe today he wants you to do more than put on the outfit and to cheer those who are running. Maybe today he wants you to run and to endure.
There's so much more to learn from Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through Hebrews, but this is where we need to close for today. We hope you've been blessed and encouraged in your own walk of faith as you listen to Building on the Solid Rock today. If you have any prayer requests you'd like us to lift up to the Lord, we'd be honored to hear from you. Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about what you heard today. We'll do our best to answer. Being part of a church family is vital to your growth as a Christian. We'd like to encourage you to find and begin attending a local community of faith if you haven't already. If you're in the San Antonio area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? We meet every Sunday and Wednesday, and you'll find more information at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope you'll join us again right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.